Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cubicle. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View.
Father God in heaven, thank you for a new day, for multiple things. I adore you. And I come and I say, all that you have given is more than I deserve. I appreciate it. But God, I confess also that I'm really not worthy in any sense of the way to do or think more than highly of myself. I can't even walk, talk, and breathe by myself. So, again, with thanks, I come and I ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to dwell here in this world with the time and energy you have given us all. So let us all be able to reflect you as you have always done for us. You reflected a relationship with us, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. Whatever the case may be, you still been there for us, and we all in unison say thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing? Rashad, I'm real mellow today. Got a lot of thoughts on the mind. Going through a whole lot. I got Jasmine and Ryan here with me today. We gonna just do a home show. Just the whole clique, just us. Jazz, Ryan, y'all want to say hi to the people?
Original crew.
Exactly. If this were DC Comics, they would call us the Trinity, because you know it's Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. But
hey, not to go. I get to be Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
I like this.
And hey, our movie's coming out next year.
Yeah.
I'm not Superman. I'm not Superman in this equation. I know how much you love Batman.
Not Superman. Hey, you can be Batman if you want to be.
I'll be Superman.
Why don't you want to be Superman?
Because I'm not a big Superman fan.
Because you're not an alien?
No, I noticed recently, right? Everybody's got their favorite characters or whatever. And so my character, you know, it being Christmas and everybody's getting ready to get their stuff for Christmas and stuff like that. You know, I'm thinking, well, who would be my favorite character of all the shows we grew up on and we love? Mm-hmm. And I'd be Hercules.
Okay. But he's a mythological.
Well, I mean, so is Thor.
The Disney representative of Hercules.
You want to be Hercules.
I just have this whole thing about actually finding a place in life where I fit in.
Yeah.
And Hercules embodies that for me through Disney. Yeah. Everybody can relate to some Disney movie.
Yeah, that's true.
So I have that thing about trying to fit in somewhere and finally finding my place where I belong. And I belong on the podcast.
There you go. Yeah.
When I hear Hercules, I think about the Nutty Professor, and they're like, Hercules, Hercules.
There was also that good TV show back in the day with what's-his-face?
Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah.
And I think about Xena Warrior Princess, mm-hmm. That would show with Lucy Lawless
that
after that.
That's
some old
you.
School stuff.
Yeah.
And I get to be Xena, I will take Xena Warrior Princess.
I don't know what that makes me, but
I don't know. Anyway, the point of today's show is for us to kind of just talk about a lot of different things and kind of unload. So for those who have been following the show, this is kind of going to be closer to you than those who have not. But what we will do is we will branch out and touch a variety of topics which will touch your life, hopefully, and be able to help you. And hopefully you can use what you've heard to help someone else. So let me explain what's going on. Or let me explain to you, Jasmine, what I mean when
Thanks.
I say, when I say to you, my situation, my housing situation is morphing.
Yes,
because
please.
You like contacted me and was like, morphing? What do you mean? You didn't even say, what do you mean? It was like, morphing?
Okay. Well, you know, my time is limited these days. Like, if I can text something that's spelled correctly, I feel good, you know? Right. And I'm like, sorry, Sammy, I just ignored you for 2 seconds so I could respond to my friend Rashad.
And then, you know, with me, it's, you never know what's going to happen. So I went for Thanksgiving. I went with a friend. I went to her house and we enjoyed each other's company and their families. And when I got back to my spot, the place where I lay my head, the place where I'm paying rent, there's a leak. Mm. And also my walls are paper thin. When I say paper thin, they're not actually walls. There's actually paper there.
So, oh, wow.
Right. So anybody who knows the struggle that I've gone through, I've actually at one point in time slept in a parking garage. And so now I'm in a situation where my living situation is not suitable or accommodable for me. So when I got back from Thanksgiving, I had a bucket full of newspaper clippings from the podcast and just odds and ends, things I keep in a bucket where I know that I can get to them if I need them. All of my college certificates. And when I got home, this bucket was full of water.
Oh, great.
Right. And so on top of that, the walls being paper thin, I began to get sick. So I went to back to this friend, and I've been with this friend on and off for the last few days, staying there because I had fever and I had a lot of different things going on. And I, as I was there, I realized that this friend of mine is very, very impatient. Mm-hmm. And that this friend of mine doesn't seem to make logical processes. And I begin to kind of like find myself handling that business, that the business for that friend. Now, this friend is somebody I also was homeless with, and we struggled together. At this point in time, they're living with somebody else. I'm living with them, who's living with somebody else.
So drama.
This is the average way of a homeless, of the homeless. And that person who we're living with receives services from the bridge. And they are now in what we would call housing that is given to homeless individuals if they should they complete the process of going through, jumping through the hoops at the local homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm sitting there in this entire time, I say for about a week span, this individual has been with me and we've been getting things accomplished that I really need to get accomplished. And that they need to get accomplished. So we went to, you know, I lost my wallet. So now I needed to go get an ID. My job, told me if I didn't come with a social security card, they would fire me. So I go in the week after Thanksgiving, after I get back, and my name's not in on the schedule anymore. So all of these things are going on with Rashad for the listeners who know what's going on with Rashad and how he is. And, you know, I'm very articulate. People say, oh, you're smart. But, you know, it's a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle because we all make mistakes and do things like that. So this whole week I've been Social Security office, food stamp office and everything. Boom, 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 boom. I'm getting those things handled. And it came to me that the individual would not do what is necessary. In a sense, we would call it handling your business. Unless I was there. And so I started thinking about that. And that's been on my thought process for some years now, actually, that sometimes we find ourselves not doing what we need to do for ourselves, but we'll be eager to do other stuff for other people. Mm-hmm. And me being who I am, like doing the podcast and really wanting to be for other people, I noticed that same thing in myself, is that I will help others. But then when it comes to me, you know, I'm not doing what I need to do for myself to progress myself or move myself forward. And like I said, everybody that's in this situation at this house, we all were at the homeless shelter together. So now and this was about a year ago. So we all should be either progressing or digressing, but to be at a place where we're not going forward or not, you know,
you're just standing still.
Right. And so sometimes individuals don't, it's just a matter of perspective where you could be progressing in a sense, but you might not be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the way you see things. So my question is, without the semantics, which is today's word of the day, yes. Without the semantics, you know, why is it that you do that? Why is it that some people have that mindset to where I'll help others to do what they need to do, but not do it for themselves? Insight?
I think it's in our nature to care for other people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's more compelling, you know, people, if we love someone, mm-hmm. we want to help them. And I know in the past we've talked about the word selfish. Yes. And you hate the idea of selfishness. And I think generally speaking, selfish has a negative connotation to it. Mm. And I am a proponent of being selfish because I understand that charity starts at home. And yeah. when I say that, I mean, you got to take care of yourself so that you are better equipped to take care of others. So luckily you don't have children, right?
Right.
You're in a situation where these are your colleagues or friends that you are, you know, sacrificing your own needs to help them.
Right.
But I do think that's cyclical, and then you end up never moving forward in your own life. Exactly. But, you know, as a parent, and because I did have these issues with my parents that, you know, they wanted to help or they wanted to care for others. But if they didn't take care of themselves first, then ultimately they couldn't take care of us. And that's not a good place to be in. So I don't think that being selfish is a bad thing. I think being self-centered mm-hmm. is a bad thing. I think taking care of yourself so that you can better help other people is the only way to best help others.
What about you, Ryan? What do you think?
I mean, it's pretty close what Jasmine already said. I mean, just making sure, because I mean, I guess you can be either too selfish or too selfless, because if you're giving yourself away, then there's nothing left to give. But again, I guess it's just, I guess with a lot of things, it's a question of balance. It's not on off right, or, you right. know, zero or one. It's, you know, take care of yourself enough so that you can take care of other people enough. But finding that balance, and of course, if you're in there's always a situation, there are times to give of yourself. I suppose, like, if you're in a life or death type situation with someone you love, and if you had to put down your life versus their life, I mean, that would be the ultimate act of selflessness.
Right.
But in a general sense, yes, you should take care of yourself to that point so that you can be there to take care of other people.
And I think biblically speaking, right, mm-hmm. you have Jesus, this martyr who, mm-hmm. you know, he gives himself for the sins of others.
Right.
And I think it's very ingrained in many people because of their Christian beliefs to right. be that way, and to not just be that way, but feel like they're morally more correct in being that way and being more selfless.
And they use that as leveraging.
I think they use that as in convincing themselves as to why this is better for mm-hmm. them, because Jesus, this is what Jesus did, and somehow that means it's a good thing to be selfless.
Right.
And but we can't all be Jesus, okay. right?
Yeah. No, real talk. I'll give you a story. Oh. If you don't
and know. Not to turn this too much, I'll just take it Jesus as philosopher, because I think it applies yeah. even if you whether you accept
sure.
the religion or not. Jesus had a quote, he says, no greater love than this, than that someone will lay down his life or her life for her friends, his or her friends.
So basically this is an expression of love. From
exactly.
the words of Jesus, from the mouth of
the
Jesus.
Extreme expression,
the extreme,
though.
Yeah. No greater love than that, and
to lay down your life—that's the extreme self-sacrifice.
I mean, and I think that would, you know, I was using that, like, if you were, you know, I would hope that I would, if there was a situation where I had to, like, if there was, like, say, a gunman running sure. around, and I would be willing to step out and stand in front to protect you two, because I consider you guys my friends.
Yes.
I hope
about, but then, and then that fine, and that leaves us with the question, well, what about Langston?
Yeah, well, in his case, God. Again, that's my, I mean, so it, but yeah. I'm just saying, if it was like an immediate, you yeah. know, so I would try to preserve my own life too, but
yeah.
if it came down to it, I hope that I would be willing to, I hope that I would be willing to lay down my life for people that I care about.
Shout out to Ryan. Ryan has just had a new baby boy named Langston. Langston
Joel.
Smith. Joel.
So LJ.
Joel Smith.
Langston Joel Smith. You going to yeah. call him LJ?
Oh, I don't know. We'll figure that out when he gets older.
Will LJ be doing my podcast in the future?
I don't know. I hope. Well, maybe. I don't want him to take over your slot. You're too good.
We'll talk about that.
Rashad's got some competition.
No problem with that. So, quick story about that whole Jesus situation. Yeah. So, anybody who knows me knows I'm really, really not really religious or pious in a sense, but I'm extremely like an advocate about God, and I'm all about that. I'm all about the scriptures and the Bible and things of that nature. So one time I was sleeping in this stairwell. It was about 2 or 3 at night. Nobody had known. I actually was breaking the law in the name of Jesus, if you will, because I was sneaking in this building. Mm-hmm. And I was sneaking in this building after a certain time. There's no watchman. You go into the stairwell. It's a car, a garage, and I would stay in the stairwell. I would live there, like literally sleep. And so at about maybe 2 or 3 in the morning, I get a call, and it's from God. He says, why are you doing this? Your back's hurting. You're not drinking water. You're in pain. You're sleeping on concrete. Are you not hurting? Why are you doing this? And I say, just like any good Christian, because Jesus was homeless, and this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm being like Jesus. And he says, well, okay, well, realize this. If Jesus did it, then there's no need to do it.
It's been done, Rashad.
And so I'm sitting there going, oh, okay, well, I'm going to roll back over and keep being Jesus. And then, then I wake up about an hour later and it's like, well, why are you doing this? And I was, and it's like, well, what do you want now from me? I'm God. What do you want? And I'm like, man, right now I really could use someone soft to lay. And about 2 days later, I went, got off my pride and went back to the bridge. And then about 2 weeks later, you know, I got moved upstairs inside of the bridge. And then about 2 months later, I made the decision to say, I'm leaving the bridge. And the point of this one, or the point of what I'm aiming at, is basically to touch a lot of different people as far as decision making. When we first started this, you asked, well, Rashad, what are you going to talk about today? And I said, time and energy. Okay. And in a sense, it's also cause and effect. This is for those who do not have or do not possess or do not utilize regularly those skills. Or the, not even, that's a skill in a sense. Or the understanding of cause and effect. Because, for instance, if I have, or the only thing anybody can actually say that they possess in this world when they get here is time and energy. And I think a lot of individuals should hone, including myself, should hone on how we use and spend that time and energy. I've used time and energy to do all kinds of things. I've done good. I've done bad. I've been up, I've been down. Like I said, I was once staying in the stairwell. Now I'm staying or paying, expending my resources for a leak and paper walls, you know? So the point of what I'm saying is we got to get across just the basics. We need the basics, man, as people, because right now what we have is an influx of individuals who are gifted with a wide array of information. Me personally, I can't do anything about what I see, but I do see it. I see the problem. And then if I'm able to see a problem, then I think I'm blessed with that vision, but I'm also cursed with the responsibility to provide a solution. Does that make sense to you guys?
Well, I think we all determine how we use our time and energy.
Right.
And I love that you phrase that as, I mean, time and energy is life. That is life. Mm-hmm. And it's a choice of how we use it, which is empowering, mm-hmm. right? Because you can sit there and say that I'm choosing to use my time and energy this way, but maybe I should choose to use it some other way.
Right.
But I do think that for someone like you who's very idealistic, mm-hmm. I think you put a lot of pressure on yourself to use your time and energy for everyone else, for the greater good, to change the world.
Well, you know, I'm still trying to be Jesus.
And the amount of time and energy, I think that takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of energy.
Yes.
And it can be exhausting. And when you think about the trade-off of the time and energy it would take care of business like you did, get mm-hmm. your driver's license, get your social security card, and then the benefits, mm-hmm. how that will expound upon the amount of time and energy you have to other things.
Right.
It makes sense that you need to take those small stepping stones in order to do the bigger things, but right. you can't start out wanting to do those bigger things. Yeah. You're going to exhaust yourself and you're going to stand still.
And the other fact of the matter is, no matter how far up the chain that you get as far as, you know, resources and free time and ability to fight those, the fact is, even if you're Bill Gates and you have all the money in the world, you cannot fight every battle. You can fight some big battles, mm-hmm. but you cannot fight every battle. Mm-hmm. You have to make your decision what's in your world, like right. what your sphere of influence, what are the most
essential
and important battles that you can fight. So anyway, that's my little
I'm definitely about that, and that's where I'm leading towards. So mm-hmm. like I said, I was with this individual at this place, and we're in somebody else's spot. And so now I'm having this conversation, and I'm understanding, okay, this person has never been taught these things. This is what some people that I know will call common sense. But there are things, these things are not actually readily being taught to people. And, well, not saying, oh, I got the platform to do it. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, because we need it, and I see that there's a problem that we need to actually fix, let's fix that. Mm. So, not being the preacher, nothing like that, but the next issue with time and energy is assessing a cost. The cost. Mm-hmm. Is this worth my time? Mm-hmm. Is this worth my energy? Mm-hmm. And I find more than enough time. More than often, individuals who don't have the basic understanding that time and energy is life. I like the way you put that. Mm-hmm. Will use time and energy or misuse it. You know, we could apply this to almost anything. That's why the word of the day is semantics. I encourage you to look that word up. I didn't like the definition I got from Google. I looked it up myself some years ago. If I had to...
Merriam-Webster.
Yeah, that's your choice. If I had to come up with a definition for semantics, I would say that it is basically the way we speak. It's the characteristics or the breaking down of how we speak. What would you say the definition of semantics is?
We kind of discussed this a little bit before, but you know, the common usage of a word, mm-hmm. What we understand it to mean versus what it may technically mean. If you were to break it down into all of its, I am piggybacking a little bit on what Jasmine discussed, but I think that would be a good way to phrase it.
It's hilarious is that what you're actually doing is getting into the semantics of the word semantics.
Ah! Yeah. I love this woman. She's
awesome. You really are.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what Google gave you.
I didn't really like it. As you look on your iPhone, I didn't like it.
The branch of linguistics and logic concerned with meaning.
That's what I'm
So when you get into the semantics of it, you're getting too much in the nitty-gritty of the meaning of the word. And you're dissecting the meaning of it to death, mm-hmm. where it almost loses meaning.
Right.
And that is exactly what you were doing to the word semantics.
Okay. So that's the point. So that was the point of that. And so we'll be back after all of our semantics. So, we're back, and I thought to go into some different things. So, let's say the individual we talked about earlier was your girlfriend. Let's say this individual who didn't have the concepts and the understanding of time and energy and all of these things are your girlfriend. And then you're almost... How do you deal with carrying dead weight? That's basically what I want to say.
And you don't. You carry your own weight until you're strong enough to carry the weight of others.
True. Absolutely
and
true.
I find that when I talk to people who are experiencing homelessness or who are living the struggle, because mm-hmm. even then, right, officially you're housed, right? You got a roof over your head-ish.
Mm-hmm. Ish.
Multiple people may be residing in the same establishment. Does that solve homelessness? No, because homelessness is complicated. Homelessness is, it's poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It's issues related to that. Mm-hmm. It's what continues to come up when you think about poverty. Mm-hmm. It's behavioral. Mm-hmm. It's you know, habits. There's right. habits involved. There's certain levels of, you know, what's acceptable and what's not, right. you know. And there might be mental health issues involved. There might be substance abuse issues involved. They might all be intertangled. And it's just so much more complex than putting a roof over someone's head. And I think that's really important for our listeners to hear from what you're saying mm-hmm. through the years, your struggle, your in-housing, out-of-housing, in-housing, mm-hmm. is that at your core, you are struggling with other issues beyond a roof over your head.
Right.
The roof over your head is just the most visible thing.
Right.
And it's the most concrete mm-hmm. thing. But it does not solve the issue. And those struggles, mm-hmm. those behaviors, those habits, mm-hmm. those tendencies
right.
to care more for others than yourself, to you know, decide to give up for a few days and go in a dark hole, you know,
carry dead weight.
To buy a car and not fix it, to yeah. crash a car and not fix it,
right?
To buy a car and illegally park it and not pay those parking fees.
You really just went there.
I did. those behaviors,
yeah.
you know, you there's so much more
than just
that can I get you back to where you were. Mm-hmm. That can get you worse off than where you were.
True.
That can keep you standing still. Mm-hmm. That go way beyond putting a roof over someone's head. And I think that's why we cannot find a solution to homelessness.
Right.
Because we're trying to solve a major problem with way too simplified of a solution.
Right. I mean, a roof is what, Ryan? Just an indication that somebody's, what, doing good?
Well, it's a shelter from the elements, I guess. But yeah. but aside from that, I mean, it's really a holistic issue. I mean, homelessness as an issue really is not one single problem. It's several issues that need to be addressed, and it varies from person to person. But I mean, but you know, like learning life skills of, you know, financial stuff, learning, you know, how to. And learning to take care of yourself as an individual. I mean, right. yes, the house is one component of that, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, it's several things, you know, like I think you mentioned drug, you know, substance issues can be another issue. I don't want to imply that it is for, you know, well, but.
And think about that many people living in one space that maybe it was received through HUD funding or through other things. As soon as that's found out, then you end up with seven people who are now mm-hmm. homeless again. Mm-hmm. Because There are also stipulations attached to anything that's received for housing. But to me, the roof over the head, the visual is literally about visibility.
Right.
People don't want to see homeless people on the street.
Right.
You put them in a house and their problems are no longer your problems. I might have mental health issues in my family, but they're in my house.
Right.
They're not out on the street or in public or at the library right. for everyone to see and somehow become everyone else's problem.
Right.
So all these problems that are inherent to the homeless population, all those complexities are highly prevalent among the general population.
Which is
we have report. Poverty all over the place, mm-hmm. except you put them in a house and we can forget about them.
Right.
We can ignore it. Mm-hmm. We, the rest of us, mm-hmm. we can say it's not our problem.
Right.
You have mental health issues in families, domestic violence, mm-hmm. all of those things happening behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. That's not my problem. I don't have to see it outside. Right. I don't have to see it when I walk downtown and go eat. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not getting harassed by somebody with a mental breakdown, mm-hmm. asking me for money and then cursing at me because I didn't give it to them.
Right.
That might be happening to someone's, you know, kid by their father with mental health issues in their home with the door closed and that pretty little roof over their head.
Exactly.
But it does not. So it really bothers me when people dehumanize the homeless population as if the issues that they're dealing with are somehow so different
right.
than the rest of us.
Yeah,
a roof, and they're not.
A roof becomes a rug. You sweep it under the rug.
Exactly. Sweep it all under the roof and end homelessness.
Right. And so I want to go ahead and shout out Wayne Walker because he said something that he said, I'm going to piss a lot of people off with this one. He said, the Housing First Initiative. And he started talking about it and he got deep into it. And if you want to, you can check out
that podcast. What was that, second season or first?
I think that was first season.
We've had them both seasons.
Yeah. Sure, but I think that was the first season episode.
And we were trying to record them. I guess we kind of fell through last
week. And I want to apologize to Wayne for that. You know, like I said, going through some changes with the whole housing that I'm going through, I just couldn't make the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I apologize to him and our calling and anybody else that may be or have ever been offended by anything that I've said or anything like that. But like you said, sweeping it under the rug, that whole Housing First initiative, in a sense, is almost saying, okay, don't get me wrong, it is a great help. But then at the same time, there are issues. Like, I have a friend now who says, I never knew how to get a birth certificate or a social because I was never taught that. And just like you spoke about finances, mm-hmm. you know, today while explaining time and energy, I realized that money in itself is the same thing. Because you expend it on things that you want. Well, with time and energy, you have to expend that time and energy on things that you want. And if you want to see a goal or a dream to be accomplished, in order to accomplish your dream, you need to go ahead and set goals in order to accomplish that. So in order to do that, there's a set of tasks that need to be done. Well, you have to use time and energy to get those tasks done. In essence, if I expect to eat, I don't know if anybody who's listening to the podcast has heard my stomach, but if I want to eat, I needed to go to the food stamp office. And then they needed my ID. And then the ID place needed something to verify that I was who I was. So I needed to go ahead and take those steps to see that dream come true. So when I leave, I'm going to go get me something to eat. But that's me. There are some people, some individuals who are in homelessness who do not establish that. They don't have that mindset. They don't see the cause and effect or the purpose to doing.
Or they don't have the energy to get through that whole process to reach the end goal. And I don't blame them, man. The waiting, the hours, the time. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Time and energy is a finite resource. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a limited resource and it has to be refueled. I mean, you have to have an opportunity that whatever you expend, you somehow can regenerate. And if you're not regenerating, man, why not be listless and give up? And it's a lot easier to not have the energy to go on.
So then we see the two sides of the fence now. We see the two sides of it. And then now, here's my thing. What do we do here? And the way I am, I'm a problem solver. I've always been. So do we tear the fence down? You know, what do we do with that? Because you have individuals who are going to be in this same situation after this podcast is done. They will continue. I've seen people, like you said, time and energy. Some people don't have that energy. And so what do they do? And so we're stuck again with, do we teach individuals these basic concepts like this? Or do we continue to go along? Because when I was a youngster, and this is where it all started from, with the thought process in Rashad's head. When I was a youngster, kids were not, there was a limit. There was a limit to the information they received. Now we have great and vast amounts of information we receive. But then there are core concepts that we are not teaching. That is a problem for me.
I'll give you an example of something in another sort of part of my world here at the library.
Okay.
We offer GED preparation classes and we have, and you know, we enroll a lot of students and, you know, their end game can feel very far out. Yeah. You know, you got to study for four different subject tests. You got to pass all four of them before you get your GED. And motivation is so, it's so difficult for people. And so, you know, we have students fall through and stop coming to class and giving up. We had a volunteer one year who she took on 10 students and it was just those 10 students. And she worked with them for a full year and they fell off and, you know, went MIA and she would text them and she would keep messaging them and she would keep working with them and she would convince them to come back. And after about a year and a half, all 10 of those students finished their GED.
Wow.
And when I think about that, and I think about the beast of an issue, I mean, you look in Dallas County, I think it's about 24, 25% of the population that doesn't have a high school diploma or equivalent. Right. which is actually a much larger number than are who are homeless. But I think the nature of that struggle, of that, you know, self-motivation, and of the what is the solution to addressing that. I mean, when the problem is that big and it's that many people, and in Dallas County for homelessness, according to the point in time count, it's about 3,500 people who are experiencing homelessness. I think it's pretty arguable and pretty arguably accepted that that's actually larger. But you know, you have these large organizations who are trying to address the masses. And the reality is I think the solution, being our putting our problem solving hats, I think the solution is it's more quality based. I mean, you got to be smaller, you know. You have to focus on five people at a time. And work with them in all of those multifaceted issues that they might have, and work with them to help them address each of those and build that over years. And you might see a result at the end of that. I think that's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons the podcast is what it is for me, because I've dealt with a lot of individuals and I can't touch them all at the same time. That's why I keep going. And you talked about the difficulty of motivation. I think, and you, Ryan, said to me that, Rashad, there are some issues that you just can't do. You can't handle everything. Well, I'll be damned if I don't try. That's me. Martin Luther King, again, said, if a man hasn't found something he's willing to die for, he isn't fit to live. I have found myself in the predicament of understanding the problem of the masses, and I am willing to die in order to motivate.
My point is that don't let, you know, if you're trying to help somebody over here and then you run over here to help, don't let your trying to take on this second battle let this cause this person over here to suffer. Finish this before you run over.
Right.
And I mean, fight every battle you can.
Right.
But don't do it to the point that you're not solving any battles.
There's a reason that on airplanes you're supposed to put your oxygen mask on first. Before going to help anyone else.
Fight one fire at a time.
And see, here it is. That whole discussion of balance is back in play. Because you got the whole thing of saying, okay, I understand the problem and I want to help somebody else. But then at the same time, Rashad, you live in with a leaky roof and paper walls. And don't even get me wrong about my landlord. I'm not going to call him anything outside of what he is. He's a person who tried to provide an opportunity, which would, in fact, help me to progress in life. Because to be honest, my rent's dirt cheap, to be honest. I mean, and in a sense, when he found out what was going on, he said, well, okay, let's do it this way. Let's cut off. You may need to pay 2 weeks of rent. Let's cut off 1 week of rent. And then I'm going to come up in there and I'm going to do exactly what needs to be done. So, and my whole reason for mentioning him is because I still gather resources right now that can help the homeless. This guy is buying rooms in South Dallas, which is one of the notoriously known poorest parts of the city, or most impoverished. He buys a house. And then he takes that house and then he splits it up and he sells the rooms, individual rooms, for $100 a week. So that's $400 a month. That's a lot cheaper than application fees. And he deals with individuals on all different spectrums of life.
I want to say I find your perspective very interesting, because it really draws home that perspective is everything. What I hear when you tell me that, I hear a landlord taking advantage of someone and gaining money off of property he would not otherwise be gaining income from, because the step from homeless to a roof over your head somehow worth the money you're paying. But another perspective would say that he's the kind of landlord who is going to keep people impoverished and keep their living conditions below par in South Dallas, because there was just an article in the Dallas News about the South Dallas homes and the landlords running those South Dallas rental properties and how there's a big push to keep them up to code and keep those facilities livable.
Right.
Because what you're living in is not livable. Right. It is not a living – those are not living conditions. And he's making money off of that. I'm happy that you have somewhere to stay, and because of how complex your situation is, but it's amazing the perspective of, you know, someone would be like, oh, he's helping this homeless person out of homelessness. But then the other side of it is the poverty aspect of it, right, which is now what you're transitioning into, out of homelessness and into poverty,
right,
is, oh, he's keeping the man down.
Right.
And he's not showing that respect that, you know, poor people, you know, that they don't deserve, apparently.
They, right.
You
know, they don't deserve to be treated as second class citizens.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I definitely agree with you. And Ryan, any thoughts?
Well, I could jump on, not so much on that, but I did have, I wanted to use your, we're talking about the different battles and,
yeah,
and you know, something Jasmine brought to mind. I'm going to use your favorite example of Jesus again.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, he would go out and talk to everybody.
Right.
But how many did he really invest his time and energy into? 12.
That's real talk.
And those 12 people, you know,
again, return on investment.
Exactly.
So, quality over quantity.
Exactly. Because if you can, because if you help, you know, 10, 12 people get up, I mean, let's say you're a person that helped those 10 people get, yeah, their GED. After they get their GED, how do you know some of them won't go help others get their, exactly, GED? I mean, it can be a multiplying effect.
And that's the whole community and the aspect thing. And that's the whole reason for the podcast. Y'all stay tuned with the Street View Podcast. So remember, we doing just the basics here. We talking about, you know, valuing people and the importance of community here, pretty much, which is what we initially started doing, but we just did it a different way. We had different semantics. Anyway, something came to mind recently to me, and this was so beautiful to me. Life has this funny way of playing out. When I was at the bridge, I was sweeping up cigarette butts, which is some of our common duties. And I heard clear as day a voice say to me, you know, if you stuck a horn in their mouth, you wouldn't have to pick up so many cigarette butts. And I thought, oh, Jesus, is that you? Hey, how you doing? And so what wound up happening was that was also a way to draw community. Remember, we talked about that. About the music program. I wanted a music program so bad. I want to learn how to blow a horn so bad because I want to do my own music, and I wanted, my purpose for doing music is to teach and to inspire. I kind of found the platform to teach and to inspire. Thank you guys at the library. Thanks to all of you guys. I'm truly appreciative. And so as of recent, I find that that whole wanting to bring community about also with the blowing of the horns, where a young man might say, you know, I know what I'm doing. And then an old man might say, I'm not getting on the basketball court. I'm not getting on the football court, but give me that horn and I'll show you how to do it. I've been doing this here since before you was born. And then that brings about a conversation. So it's crazy because then upon that thought and upon that process, I then had a dream. And then that dream, in order to make it a reality, I needed to accomplish certain goals. And that this is the importance of what I say to you when I say that about dreams being able to be made reality. So I went on ahead. I thought about it and I said, you know what? Smart people are great. But in order for a person, myself, an individual, to see something this big happen, I need to kind of draw smart or wise counsel. So I started asking around the homeless shelter, what do you guys think if we'd have a music program? And everybody was for it. Yeah, yeah. So then I said, well, let's make a committee. And Cass was like, nah, homie, we ain't got time for that. And so I finally found some folks who would be with me willing, and they knew my intent. They knew what type of person I was. They had been hanging around me enough to know that I wasn't a phony, a sham, somebody that's just preaching in these streets and then going being Reverend Lowdown or Reverend No Good. And so they came with me one day when Farmer's Market was still accessible to the homeless. And we sat down in there and I started talking about, well, you're going to talk about the importance of music and how it develops the brain chemistry. And you're going to talk about the fun and the community part. And you're going to talk about how it'll help with math. And you know, the part of the brain that connects the two parts is only stimulated by the music. And so we started developing a plan. And so then I started trying to bring that plan to the homeless shelter. And then I met with my case manager, and I'm sitting down with him. I'm so excited. Yeah, yeah, I want to do this, and I want to bring this, and we could do this. And you know, I know y'all big about health and human services, so, you know, we're going to have to get a mouthpiece because I don't want a guy with tuberculosis spitting in my trumpet. And so, yeah, you know, and I was amped up. And she said, you know what? She looked at me. She said, this is a temporary shelter. If we do that, we're gonna make them stay. And then on top of that, I'm here to help you find housing, dude. I'm not here to help you, you know, change the world. And I was like, okay. And so then eventually the library and I, we became real chummy, buddy, you dig? And then they took on that project. But that did not stop me because the library started with a music program. And I'm noticing something about God, you know, with time and energy. I'm putting in the time and the energy to do what I wanted to do, which was start a music program. So now, as Rashad, the guy you listen to, who's been homeless, who had nothing, no money or nothing, I now have instruments. I'm like gathering instruments spontaneously. I'm in it. I'm serious. I'm being honest.
What do you have?
I have a violin. Your father has a bass guitar for me. He's fixing for me. And I also have like a keyboard. And it's like, it's my intent and my initiative only stem from a thought, from a voice, from a thought, from a process. And then I made it a dream. And then from that dream, now I'm seeing it to coming along, and it's really, really great. But I think I could do a whole lot better with that program actually happening if I would focus my time and my energy. Get it on that thing. So, any thoughts?
But for what purpose? I mean,
community.
How is Rashad doing? I mean, what you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, this sense of standing still, right? And not progressing, not digressing or regressing. And,
I also mentioned perspective.
Right. So in your perspective, I mean, what is it in Rashad's life that needs addressing that's going to take the back seat?
Oh, yeah.
Because you now have a new, you know, ignited flame.
Something to do. Because you remember a couple of weeks ago, I was bothering Jasmine like every day. Jasmine, give me something to do.
I know. And then I booked up your calendar and you like didn't come to half the things I booked you for.
I love you. I'm sorry.
I know. It's okay.
And so it just left me in a sense, the mindset I had of wanting to do something and having something to do left me in a sense just like, I'm housed now. What do I do? And Jasmine's like, the rest of the house people's lives are boring too, Rashad. Yes. Don't, you
welcome
know.
Welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world. It's like, Rashad, what are you going to, but you know, I find it funny that while you're progressing, you know, you like those pats on the back and going, hey, yeah, you're doing great, man. You're doing great. And then you get to a point where you're not progressing. And then you're going, I miss that. Psychologists call that. Or say that's like we have a reward system in our brain and we like the attention. We were rewarded with attention as children. Good attention, if we do something good, bad attention. And so we seek that. We continue to seek that. I don't like that. That's the mindset that we have, but that's the mindset that we have. And so I want to actually see the people progress and be able to say, hey, good job, everybody. Let's work together, community. Yeah. You know, does that make sense, Ryan?
Mm-hmm. One final thought, since I seem to be throwing in analogies today, life is actually a treadmill, meaning you can't really stand still because if you stand still, you're going backwards.
Right.
You're actually regressing. But so it's really even to keep up, you have to keep moving.
Right.
So,
I may not agree with you, Rashad, on this.
Of course not. You're like my mom.
I know. You're it's like my job. It's not my job. But because I do want you to take care of yourself, and I find that again with many of the people I speak to who are currently experiencing homelessness or have, you know, that selflessness can get in the way. But what I believe more than any of that, that sort of trumps even my disagreement with you on that, is that life is too short for regrets. And mm-hmm. I believe that you never know when your day is going to come. True. And that means that you have to live each day feeling good about what Rashad is doing. So if you are doing something that makes you feel good, it makes you have a sense of giving back and helping the community, and you know, today's your day, or tomorrow's your day, or 10 years from now is your day. Mm-hmm. I think you have to take every day and be true to yourself.
Yes.
Even if it is not in alignment with what Jasmine thinks, or what will get you to where, you know, Jasmine thinks you can go, or where you think you can go, but is what's going to make you feel whole,
yeah,
and make you feel good, then I can't, you know, I can't disagree with you, because I don't want you to have those regrets. And I want to know that Rashad lived his life to the fullest. He lived it true to himself.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't agree with all of it. Yeah. And I can be at peace with that.
Well, you know what? I got two things on that. My first thing is, the end result of what you said, you know, living your life the way you want to live it. I think we're too heavily prevalent on that, only because it's starting to seem to affect the children. It's starting to seem to affect the children in a way where it's like, my life is my own to do with what I will, and I don't have to involve anybody else in it. You know, all the time I hear from a friend of mine, they say to me, why are you looking at people? And it's as if I'm not supposed to have eyes. And but I explain that when I look at a person and they look at me, I always say hi as a way of saying I'm not here to offend you. Community. That's what that's about. That'll always be.
And that's
me,
you. That's because you. I was taught you that. Be you, Rashad.
But
you
I think that's necessary.
I think it's necessary to be you. I think it's necessary for Ryan to be Ryan. Okay. I think it's necessary for Jasmine to be Jasmine, because we can't control the world. We can't control each other. We can control ourselves, more or less.
Yes.
And we have to be true to ourselves. So, yeah, I mean, yes, is there a problem with the children these days, you know, and being so self-involved and self-absorbed and it's me, 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 me culture? Mm-hmm. Sure. But at the end of the day, it's their life. And mm-hmm. again, and now in bringing life into the world, and I don't mm-hmm. know if Ryan's starting to feel this yet, but you know, you realize that life is precious, and you never know when you're going to go. And you just want to know, you just want to know that the people that you love and care about, were at peace with what they were doing, and that they were true to themselves.
Yeah. And you speak about, you know, trying to control ourselves versus controlling the world. I think, like you said, you can control yourself. And by controlling yourself, you can't control the world, but you can influence those yes. around you. And, you know, yeah, and by thereby change the world, because some people will follow your pattern, will Frederick, follow your example.
Frederick Douglass said to me one day.
You knew him personally?
How old are you, Rashad?
Dude.
He said something that we utilize all the time. He said, and I wish I hadn't used the word of the day already. I would use this one as the word of the day.
You can have two words of the day, Rashad. I owe you.
The second word of the day is axiom. He said, it's easier to raise strong children than to build broken men. That's deep. I agree with you in a lot of things. I mean, we disagree on some things, but we do respect each other. And I think there are some axioms in this world that need to be retaught. Respect is one. Morals are another. Values, ethics, those things need to be retaught. And just like when we started this podcast, it seemed oversimplistic to talk about the things we were talking about, because if you say it's common sense, then it should be known. It should be seen. But a friend of mine, Nick Rodasty, would say to me, common sense ain't so common, Rashad. And lastly, on the point you made, Ryan, a friend of mine, Joyce Aguero, said to me, just the smallest drop in the ocean will ripple continually. It will continue to ripple. And so those thoughts and those mindsets and those influences that I've had, because we know that what knowledge and history, knowledge is one thing that's constant. And some historians and some people have said something that lasts us continually.
They've given us axioms to live by. So we know those things and we understand those things. And so what I wanted to say to you was that there's a very beautiful movie. It's called Talk to Me. It's by Don Cheadle, or not by him, but the stars in it are Taraji P. Henderson, Cedric the Entertainer, Martin Sheen, a lot of different individuals. And so what happens in the movie is one guy really wants to be a disc jockey or a DJ. Hello. And he's incarcerated, but his brother's the head of a radio station, or is in part of the management of that team. So when he meets the guy, he says, look, when I get out, I'm going to find you. He finds this guy, asks this guy for opportunity. The guy kind of shuts him down. He just continue through motivation and determination. The guy finally gives him a gig. And so he sees this guy's talent, and then he tries to take this guy all the way up to the Tonight Show. And then when he gets there, he says to the people, y'all not ready for me. See, he had a set or a limitation where he wanted to be. And then the guy who saw his talent tried to take him much, much further. But that wasn't him. That's not who he wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely agree with the sentiment that you offer, which was, Rashad, you know, we all got to live our lives. And I don't want you to think, want to stop you from being the most you can be, that what I think you can be. But we all got to find a place in this thing together as a community, but we have to live our own lives. And that's the point or premise of what a moral is. A moral is a way for us to be able to live here together in community and still be ourselves. So with that, I just want to leave you guys, the podcast, and everybody who's listening with learning or teaching a moral, if possible. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for everything that you have given and everything that you have done and the ability to be able to project. We have the ability to project and to speak. Some do not have that, but they still have the gift of expression. And because you've given me the gift of expression to utilize in this capacity, I want to take the time to thank you with it, and also thank all that are involved, negative or positive, just so that we could all know that you are in charge. Thank you. We pray this blessing and this thanks in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Street View. You can visit us online at streetviewpodcast.com. Tune us in again next time for more discussion.